This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. It's 2:44. Shingles can be a debilitating disease. The disease causes a rash with blisters that usually lasts for 2 to 4 weeks. If you've experienced shingles or know someone who has, you know it is very painful. In addition to the pain at the outset, there can also be fever, chills, headache, and stomach upset. And according to the website WebMD, once the rash and blisters fade, there can be nerve pain that can last weeks, months, or years. Now there is a vaccine to protect people from shingles. Studies show it can prevent shingles in about half the people 60 years of age or older. It can also reduce the pain associated with shingles. My guest in this portion of the program is Dr. Scott Cinnamon. Dr. Cinnamon is an internal medicine physician at Carle Clinic. He joins me this afternoon to talk about shingles and the vaccine, Zostavax. Dr. Cinnamon, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What causes shingles?
Shingles is caused by a reactivation of the virus that causes chickenpox as a child. You know, almost everybody develops chickenpox when they're a child, and that's caused by the varicella virus. And that virus will eventually, when the chickenpox resolves, that virus will go and live in the nerve roots that come out of the spinal cord. And for various reasons later in life, sometimes the virus will sort of wake up, is the way I describe it to patients, and sort of crawl out along one of the nerve roots and cause the painful skin rash that is shingles.
Mm. So a lot of folks at risk.
Yes. Pretty much everybody who's ever had chickenpox is at risk for shingles. And the times that shingles is most likely to occur is when there's a weakening of the immune system, maybe because you developed some other infection elsewhere in your body or certain medicines like steroids that you might take or some other health conditions that could develop.
Does one's age affect the severity of a case of shingles?
It doesn't necessarily affect the severity of the case of shingles, but it does affect the likelihood. Most people who do develop shingles are over the age of 50. Shingles can occur in younger individuals, but it's much more common in older people.
Yeah. At the outset of an occurrence, how is it treated?
At the outset of an occurrence of shingles, we generally give people antiviral medications. Probably the most common one is acyclovir, and there are others. Famciclovir and valacyclovir as well can help treat the shingles. There are studies that show if you give antiviral medications as soon as possible when the shingles develops, that you can lower the likelihood of the post-herpetic neuralgia that you were kind of describing in your introduction.
Yeah.
The other way that we frequently treat shingles at the outset is to give steroids, and the steroids don't necessarily kill the virus any faster or anything like that, but they have also been shown to lower the likelihood of developing the post-herpetic neuralgia.
Yeah, that post-herpetic neuralgia sounds really nasty. How is that treated?
That is a very difficult thing to treat. And people who have post-herpetic neuralgia can tell you that it's some of the most severe pain out there. One way to treat it is to just give people narcotic pain medications. But since the post-herpetic neuralgia can last for such a long time, we generally don't like to have people taking narcotic pain medicines for that long of a period of time. There are some other medicines that actually are in the family of seizure medicines. One is called gabapentin or Neurontin, and there are other medicines in its family as well, and they are very helpful. I shouldn't use the word very. They are helpful at diminishing the pain from post-herpetic neuralgia. It's not a miracle cure, but it can help in a lot of cases.
Yeah. Now, this vaccine, Zostavax, I hope I'm pronouncing
you
it
are,
correctly.
Yes.
Okay. It's considered about 50% effective, and the older the recipient, the less effective it is. Do researchers know why it's not more effective and why it's less effective in older recipients?
I believe in older recipients, they tend to have other health conditions that might weaken their immune system even further, and so it would be more likely for the shingles to develop in that age group. But no, in the shingles prevention study, which was a study that they did to decide if Zostavax would even work, they didn't really specify why the older individuals were still more susceptible to shingles than the younger individuals. Now, they only studied it in individuals 60 and older.
Okay.
And it was the people in the 70 to 80 age group and the people over 80 who were a little bit more susceptible to still contracting shingles compared to the 60 to 69-year-old age group.
Yeah. Now, 50% effective is a significant rate of efficacy.
That's correct.
But We'd like to see it at, 100, right?
That would be nice, but there are no vaccines that prevent 100% of the diseases that they're trying to prevent. 50% is probably not as good as some of the other vaccines, but it's still better than nothing. And the other thing you have to remember is that while it only reduces the rate of shingles by about 50%, out of those 50% who still get it, it reduces the rate of postherpetic neuralgia by another 40% or so. So even though some people might still go on to get shingles after they've been vaccinated, there'll be fewer of them developing the painful postherpetic neuralgia than otherwise would have gotten that. And the real reason to have the Zostavax is to prevent the postherpetic neuralgia. You know, it's easy to treat shingles with some medicine and creams or whatever, but treating the postherpetic neuralgia is a big challenge, and so that's what we're really trying to prevent.
Yeah, debilitating pain for years is just a horrible thing to think about. What's the CDC recommendation for the vaccine?
Yes, the CDC recommends that any individual over the age of 60 should get the shingles vaccine, provided that they have an immune system that's strong enough to handle the vaccine. If, for instance, if they're on certain medicines like steroids or other medicines that might affect their immune system, they shouldn't get the vaccine. Or if they have cancer of the bone marrow, or if they have HIV or AIDS or something, then they should not get the vaccine. But pretty much anybody who's 60 or older should get the vaccine.
What about folks that are younger than 60?
That they didn't do the studies in individuals under the age of 60. In the future, maybe they'll do more studies to decide that. But right now, we don't have any recommendations on individuals younger than 60.
Yeah. Who do you recommend consider the vaccine in your practice?
Yes, in my practice, in the individual who's over 60, who doesn't have one of the contraindications that I mentioned a moment ago, I do recommend that they get the shingles vaccine. And we've been giving hundreds of them here in our office over the past several months.
Yeah. Now, I have heard that the shot is painful. Is that true?
It's, of course, I haven't gotten the shingles vaccine, but it's no more painful than getting a flu shot or a tetanus shot or a pneumonia vaccine. About one in three people who get the vaccine will get a tiny amount of redness or soreness at the injection site. But for the most part, that's true of any injection or vaccine.
Yeah. Outside of that redness, are there other side effects?
The only other side effect that occurred more frequently with the vaccine was headache, and that was about 1 in 70 people would get a headache. Otherwise, it was just a little bit of soreness at the injection site was the only other side effect that was more likely to occur.
Yeah. It is expensive. Are health plans generally picking up the cost?
That's variable. They will not cover it if you're under 60 because the Center for Disease Control doesn't recommend that you get it unless you're 60 or over. And I believe that Medicare does not cover it. I can't remember off the top of my head. Most of the time what I do is tell the people that it's recommended by the Center for Disease Control, and then they can discuss it with their insurance provider whether that's covered at full, the full coverage or not.
Yeah. And also you want to discuss with your physician, I imagine, any kind of contraindications that might be there.
That is correct.
Yeah.
In fact, there's been a lot of times where people would ask me if they were candidates for the shingles vaccine, and then I'd have to explain to them that because of whatever health condition that I might be treating them for, because of some of the medicines they take, I explain that they shouldn't get the vaccine.
Yeah. Will you administer this vaccine to somebody who, let's say, is in their 50s?
That's a good question. I would tell them no. In my practice, I try to follow the guidelines. You know, these guidelines are put out by smart people doing good studies, and so I tend to take their recommendations.
Okay, very good. Is a booster required at some point down the line?
Good question. As of right now, it is not recommended, but the shingles prevention study, which was the study that they did when they were developing the vaccine, they followed those individuals for up to 4 years after the vaccine, and so I don't think there's been enough time for us to decide whether a booster will be needed.
Yeah.
That information will come later, so to speak.
Yeah. Anything out there on the horizon that could be of help to preventing shingles or helping people live with it?
I wouldn't say on the horizon. It is already there. You know, children nowadays are getting vaccinated against chickenpox. That's called the varicella vaccine, and that will prevent chickenpox from developing in about 9 out of 10 people who get the varicella vaccine. And so if less people are getting chickenpox, there will be less cases of shingles. Now, you can get the varicella vaccine and still get shingles, but it'll lower the risk of getting shingles. So as all of the children out there in this day and age that have been getting the varicella vaccine over the past 10 or 15 years, as more and more people get that, then perhaps, 25 or 30 years from now, we'll be seeing less shingles.
Yeah. One other question that I can think of, and then maybe you can add if I've left out anything. shingles contagious?
In somebody who has not had chickenpox or in somebody who has a weakened immune system, then yes, they could contract the virus.
Okay.
Anything? That's a good question, and people often ask that question. And as long as you, if you have had chickenpox, then you shouldn't, and if your immune system is fairly normal, you should not be worried about being around somebody who has shingles.
Okay. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think you covered all the issues that I wanted to make sure that people were aware of.
Okay.
I'm sorry that I wasn't better prepared as to what insurance companies cover and which ones don't, and whether Medicare covers.
Yeah.
I tend to let my front desk staff help me with that information. So.
Well, that's a good thing. That's
right.
What those folks are there for,
right,
on the front line. And I want to thank you for talking with us this afternoon. And that information, that information also, I would imagine, is readily available if somebody was, out either online or, checking with their carrier. So, well, there we'll leave it. Dr. Scott Cinnamon, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Scott Cinnamon is an internal medicine physician at Carle Clinic.